Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 172, I was very lucky and privileged to have Mutia on the podcast. She is a business and leadership coach who helps females, professionals, and business owners master their habits or of success. We had a lovely conversation on a number of different topics. We talked about how as a 12-year-old in Nigeria, how she, due to some bullies in her life, she decided to hey, you know what, I'm not going to talk, and became quite an extrovert. And basically how, also how it kind of led to her to being a very powerful and energetic speaker today. We also talked about, the sort of mindset which you need to sort of help push yourself, grow and develop as a person to those next levels. She is a wonderful lady, and I look forward to speaking to her again. And I've got to say, she says she's on Clubhouse, and I'm looking forward to tracking her down on Clubhouse as well. Anyway, so please sit back, enjoy the show. Don't forget, subscribe if you can to the to the podcast. It really does help. And have an awesome day. Enjoy the show. Have a good one, guys. Peace. Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 172, I am very privileged to have Mutia Adebowale. Oh, you see, I almost had it.
You got it.
Okay, yep, you're a very kind lady, She is a business leader coach. She helps females, professionals, and business owners master their habits of success, as well as coaching female executives. How are you today, my lady?
I'm good, thank you very much. I'm very well.
Excellent. How are things in Southend-on-Sea? Hopefully rather sunny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's beautiful today. It's a very sunny day today. We still have the sun here. So, pretty much it's a beautiful day today in Southend-on-Sea. Yes, we're loving it.
I sit here with on a throne of envy because, yes, it is drizzling here in the London. So wet and more wet.
Okay, well, maybe we had the wetness, but, as things would happen, the wetness and the sun, we do have that a lot here. So,
Okay. I have to ask, how did you get started as, a leadership coach, a business and leadership coach?
Okay, how I got started with that. That's a story. Okay, so... it didn't just start because I do say to people, I got into the coaching and the training space accidentally rather than intentionally. Because what happened was I was a blogger, many years ago I was a blogger. And what got me into blogging was because when I was young, I schooled in Nigeria, I grew in Nigeria, and in my secondary school, that was where I got that. In my secondary school, I realized that I was bullied. Well, I went to two secondary schools, so the second one. So I was bullied by the girls. It was a girls' school, and they would come around me, and start chanting things. And when I spoke in class, they will mimic me, and I felt very uncomfortable. So I was made to believe that maybe the way I was speaking or the fact that I was even opening my mouth to speak was making them uncomfortable. So I resorted within me. I said I wasn't going to be speaking in class, except the teacher said, you have to speak. And that was a vow I did at 12 years old, and that went with me. And I just kept it like that. Even when I started working, I wouldn't speak in meetings. And when I was that age, 12, what I was doing was I was writing a lot of poetry to express myself. That was the only thing I was doing. So I was stuck in a place. So many people would say when I was young, very shy, very quiet, I wouldn't speak at all. When I was working, I wouldn't speak. I didn't have many friends. I couldn't relate to people because I was made to feel that, you know, my talking was uncomfortable. So I shut my mouth. So that got me into writing a lot. So whilst I was writing, you know, when I developed that writing thing and had my blog, so I used to see adverts like, you know, coming on because it was a the Google blog thing. So, you know, the AdWords, whatever, the AdSense, I think I had. So we'll come up and show, change your life, transform your life. This, I was like, what's all this? I never knew anything about coaching. So, but because I was doing that blogging every time I saw the adverts, and then I clicked on it and it was like a free event. And I was like, oh, this is strange. What's this? So I attended one of the events, and when I got to that event, I saw people who were learning to maybe speak up, you know, own their own confidence, understand themselves, rediscover, grow. And it was an atmosphere that I'd never been in before. Like, it felt to me like some sort of liberation, like, wow. So people are free to want to speak and no judgment. So I can try this. So that day, I think the first event or the second one that I went, I said, okay, I'm going to come up and I'm going to speak for 2 minutes, introduce myself and say a few things about myself. And that felt like heaven, like, wow, you know, it changed my perspective. It showed me that there were a group of people like me who were looking to find their voice. And from that day, I started going to events like that and, you know, beginning to learn, you know, what it was like to be a coach and that sort of thing. And I grew myself into becoming a coach, certified, and then getting into training other people. And the fact that I had come from a place where I wasn't talking, I mean, it was really, honestly, it was terrible. As in, I was a broadcaster. And even as a broadcaster, I would only speak in the studio. Once I stepped out of that studio, that's it. Nothing again. That's it. So it was really, really, really bad. So for me to be able to find that space, wow, it changed everything for me. And from there, I grew, you know, into becoming a coach and getting to help other people build their confidence, you know, female executives, young managers, that sort of thing. I thought, wow, I've probably not done something wrong. So that really motivated me and got me, you know, moving on that, space. So
yeah,
that was how I started years as a coach. Yeah,
wow, like this is the thing, like, okay, like to go at 12, like, and you know what, okay, I've had enough of you girls, you're getting on my last nerve, okay, I can't take this anymore, to then go, okay, I'm gonna shut down until the teacher actually comes to me and then I'll actually say something, and then like to carry that forward year after year after year, it gives me the sort like the thought of still waters run deep come to mind with that, because like, okay, from that to say going, okay, you know what, I'm gonna be on EKO FM and be there for three years as a broadcaster, my God, it's like it's a very sort of huge leap. And it's amazing that the sort of internet kind of helped you find your voice.
Exactly. Yes. The internet helped me find my voice, you know, and me looking back at that time was like so many things I would say I missed, but I didn't really miss because I didn't know. It was just my way of life. And I can tell you so consciously, I will remind myself if I wanted to speak in meetings, I will remind myself, you said you are not going to be speaking where there are, you know, in the midst of people. And I'll just draw back. Okay, I'll sit in the, like, in the canteen, the cafeteria on my own, eat my food and move away, and people will come and they will tell me, you've withdrawn in your shell every day, that sort of thing. So I was known to be that person. And I think it helped me to understand myself more because I then became my best friend.
Okay.
Right. I kind of developed that relationship with myself where I think things with myself, I analyze things with myself, because it looked to me then when I was younger that I didn't have so many people to talk about things. And because I grew up where I grew up, mm-hmm. there are things I couldn't speak to my parents about anyway. For example, talking to my parents about being bullied in school, for goodness sake, like, go and sort yourself out. So that's it. So no one was going to listen to that. There was nothing tangible that I was going to be discussing with my parents. They wouldn't really have the time, because to them, there are girls like you, sort yourself out. Mm. Okay, so yeah, so it made me became like my best friend. I would write, I would talk to myself, I would do so many things, like, and it has a good and a bad. It kind of made me more dependent on myself mm-hmm. than on other people. So yeah, and I continue to carry that forward, even though that can be a burden at some point in life, you know. But yes, I think, yeah, it actually made me a different kind of person, because when I was in, that was secondary school when it happened, when I was in my university, you know, I studied mass communications. Mm. My friends found it, I had very few friends, maybe two friends. So many people, and up till today, like, if I had met them anywhere, like, I meet some of them around, and they still look at me so weirdly, because they just couldn't understand what was going on in my mind, that I wasn't speaking to people. So I looked like a weird kind of girl, like, what's wrong with this girl, you know? So, yeah. But as I grew older and I look back at that time, I'm like, wow, something happened. And those are the sort of things that I do as a coach to help people, you know, release themselves from, you know, things of the past that may have been holding them back. So, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was an experience for me, yeah.
No, I can imagine, because like, this is the thing, some of the like hardest things for people to sort of ever do or like find or develop is one, inner strength and self-awareness, because the amount of times you hear people like, oh yeah, I want to do this, but they don't have that kind of sort of inner strength to like follow through or like to engage that sense of discipline to win out the task. Or if it comes to just awareness, they might not be aware they don't have that skill set yet to achieve that task. Like with your sort of, how can I put it, your journey, your quest, with you and you yourself and I, what would you say were some of the biggest lessons you would have learned about like your inner strength and your personal development, would you say?
Oh, for me, well, when I was growing, with the things that I grew up with, to become independent, to be, you know, my best friend, to get to know myself more. And in a way, I really wasn't bothering about what people thought about me, because I knew the reason why I wasn't like really friendly. It wasn't because I didn't want to be friendly or I didn't want to talk to people, but it was because I had been, you know, shut in from a young age, you understand? So that really didn't make me like think like, oh, people, because when I was, like I told you, when I was in tertiary institution, a lot of people thought like, oh, she doesn't want to talk to people. So I didn't really mind, because I knew, not that I don't want to talk to you, but I don't want to talk to you in a way that you'll begin to mock me again. So I'd rather keep my mouth shut. So that's the mentality. So, and that made me like, okay, I'm sorry, I'm not going to mind. I'm just going to move away. But when I got into coaching, it helped me to really make it a lot more constructive with my personal development, self-awareness. I then looked back at my time and see, okay, these were the things you were doing that actually helped you, and you can make it better, right? And so now opening up to speak to people, to make people understand like, okay, I'm actually not a bad person. It was a lot easier for me, okay, to open up, to open conversations. So when I started to talk, I was bold enough to open conversations. I was confident enough to like, you know, ask questions and ask people for things. And some people will be surprised. Oh, she can ask questions. You can do this, you know, because then I was now operating from an intentional place. Okay, because I have answers to the questions people were asking, but some of them couldn't ask me out. So as in, they couldn't really come to me and say, okay, how come you've changed? You're a different person. What happened? So me stepping into coaching helped with my personal development. lot, a great deal, with managing myself, with managing my relationship, with managing my marriage, with so many things. So I was able to like blend my me that was coming from, you know, with the lessons that the things I've learned in life, as in my journey, with the constructive lessons of becoming more self-aware, understanding yourself, knowing your boundaries, and, you know, managing other people's emotions. So for me, it was easy for me to, like, for example, when people did things and they weren't saying exactly what the reason they did their things, I was able to like look in them and think it may be because they have X, Y, Z going on in them, because I was having issues. People didn't know. And I know that people keep things within themselves. So a lot of things happen that we're not expressing. So it allowed me to watch people, be with people, and really understand, yes, they're probably coming from this point of view. Okay, that I don't understand. So less judgmental. You know, taking people for who they are, you know, giving people time to express themselves. As a matter of fact, giving them space to be who they want to be, express themselves, and, you know, that sort of thing. Because I went through that journey, although it wasn't really consciously, but then, you know, the experience is the best teacher, because, you know, you've been there before. Yeah. And the lessons that I've learned constructively helped me to analyze people, you know, and, you know, move on from there. Yeah.
Like, this is the thing I would say with regards to, like, yeah, self-reliance and everything like this, it's made you a strong person. It's made you like a go-getter. It's made you like, yeah, go forth and go, yes, I can do this. And asking these questions of people, and like, one of the things I would have thought would be a little bit tricky for yourself would be, okay, just with the sort of way you sort of handled that sort of situation coming from your school, like going forward, would be the sort of, okay, sort of connecting with people, because like being so like sometimes a little bit insular, and I've done it myself, like that sort of like, okay, having that awareness to be like, okay, how do I connect with this person who is like some type of puzzle or Rubik's cube, and like, yeah, make that effective. Isn't easy, you know what I mean? Especially when you've been a little bit of an introvert rather than an extrovert, if you get what I mean. How did you manage to deal with this?
Now or before?
Well, before, like, look, like, this is the whole thing. Look, I can tell you are roasting, toasting hot, like, quick as a pistol, like, right now, that you are, like, you've come a long way compared to I imagine what you were back then. You've come a long way. So you've developed a lot. So like, yeah, if I went, what you like now? Yeah. But what were you like back then? Come on now.
Okay. Oh, back then I could say I was disaster. Like, I was really terrible. You know, I'll tell you one of the things, like I told you, I was a journalist and, you know, broadcaster. And when I started working, well, I worked in different places, internship, but when I started my proper work at Radio Lagos, Eco FM, and I think the first year, so I was like a promising staff, like a very young, because I started early, so very young staff, and I was doing well, and my bosses liked my job, and I was going to have like an award of some sort. And when they were doing the occasion, and I was in a hall, and somebody said my name, I just like almost collapsed. Like, I was really sweating. I just couldn't manage to get off my seat. I was like, I was really sweating. They had to bring it to me. It was that bad. So I was a big disaster with regards to, you know, relationship with people, talking to people, expressing myself. And I was like a pushover. You know, you can't just say what you want. Pleasing people. So I was that bad, you know, with myself, with my relationship, with keeping friends. It was horrible, honestly. And I'm glad I went through it, because now that I just like really can smack anyone with my, you know, words. And when I meet my old school mates, and like they just look at me like, I just ask them, what's wrong with you? Come and talk. What are you thinking about? Like, I can't be bothered. What are you thinking about me? Talk. You'd better talk or just go away. You know? And they're like, oh, can you transform from this person to, you know, So yeah, but I was really, really bad. Yes, I was a complete introvert, with a capital I. Yes, big time.
Yeah, no, I can imagine what your school friends were like because, like, okay, it's like, okay, who are you? Are you sure you're the same person we m went to school with? What happened? It's like, but this is the thing. I think that is one of the things when people sort of discover self-development for themselves, like the person they were and the person they start to become is sometimes so different. Sometimes it can be like, "Ooh, I didn't know I had that sort of capability." A surprise, shocking at times, and like for some people, they might even say scary. What would you say to like anyone like who's like going, "I'm going, I want to start a journey of self-discovery, but I'm not too sure how," like as a
Oh, self-discovery. I mean, it's about the best thing we can do for ourselves because, one, it's a journey. We get to know ourselves every day. Okay, we kind of capture, the entirety of who we are in one shot. We can do that. We get to know ourselves. We get to learn, who we are, discover, uncover, unearth who we truly are. And that's by, leaning inwards with regards to the things we're doing. Whatever you are doing, if it doesn't align with you, listen to your intuition. Okay. And for me to go to that event, it was because something was missing. I felt something was missing when I saw Transform Your Life, Be a Better Person. If I felt like, oh, I'm okay, then I wouldn't. But I clicked that. And when I went to that event, I saw that, yes, this part of me has been like missing a long time ago, been hidden within me. So whatever you want to do, just listen to your intuition. We talk about people now analyzing, asking themselves, what do I really want? As in asking themselves to know their purpose. Is this what I want? What would happiness mean to me? Okay. If I was to be happy, what will define my happiness? Okay. If I was to achieve, the best thing in life, what would that mean to me? Okay. So analyzing the things that we want, what is true to me? Okay. Today, what's true to me today may not be true to me tomorrow. Okay, so as we go on in life, we evolve, we uncover what's interesting to us today. What makes us feel great today may not make us feel great tomorrow. Okay, so giving ourselves that allowance that we're going to change over time, our interests will change. The things we're living for today may change tomorrow, so just giving yourself that grace, understanding that, we are in a journey. And it's interesting to get to know ourselves, but just ask yourself, who am I now? Am I living my purpose? And how do you know if you're living your purpose? Is everything the way I want? We will not have perfect life, never. Okay. But am I doing my best to be the best that I can be? Okay. Are the things around me things that I can shape and put my touch on it so that it gives me, the life and the fulfillment and the satisfaction that I want. Okay, so we need just to be introverted in a way, to re retrospective, go inside yourself and look at the things you're doing. There is a beautiful exercise, that I like to do that I talk to my clients about. At the end of every day, just ask yourself, how have I fared today? Did I do my best to be the best of who I want to be? Did I try my best to affect and impact the world the way I want to impact the world? Okay, what will I be doing tomorrow to make today better? That sort of thing. Just ask yourself every day. And then it tells you, you see, when we're talking to ourselves in that way, our conscience tells us, yes, you've done your best. Yes, you're in alignment. Yes, that's your truth. Or no, you need to do more. You can be better. You understand? So when we are honestly talking to ourselves and asking ourselves how things are, we know when we are feeling okay or when we are not, and we know when we need to improve. And sometimes, we just need to ask ourselves, am I pushing myself enough to be who I want to be? That sort of thing. So yeah, it's a journey. It's beautiful only if we can you know, sit down and ask ourselves. Maybe, I think that's why some people find it hard, and then they get coaches to help them. But if you sit with yourself and you ask yourself, you know, and honestly, you would love it. For me, because I have grown with that. When I was young, I tell you, my brothers, I have three brothers, and my brothers were like, why are you talking to yourself? Like, why are you talking to yourself? And I used to do that a lot, and I can tell you, I used to do it because I kind of like analyze things, like there's somebody there that I'm talking to. You know, that sort of thing. It's weird. But I used to do that a lot, you know. So yeah,
you just got to make, like, it's not weird, I've seen people do it before, but you just got to make sure you choose your settings, because yeah, in some places that might not go down well. That's another
story. Yeah. I don't do that on the street. No. Exactly.
She's over there. Okay.
I do that in my room. Exactly. Because then, you know, just to remind myself, I'm sane. You know.
It's like, oh, please, could you come into the car, please? Ah, no, it's not like, it's not what you think. is the thing, like with regards to self-development and like many of the things you say, it's like, okay, I find people will say, yeah, I want to change, I want to make a difference in my life and that development, but they want to do it sometimes from the comfort of a nice armchair with nice comfy sit, like slippers on, and nice and warm, like maybe have a little bit of food, a drink to hand, and yeah, expect change to come their way. What do you say about that then? Is it possible? Can it be done that way?
Only if it could be done that way, everybody would be who they want to be, will be where they want to be, you know. Nobody likes stress. So if it was easy to achieve what you want, like just, you know, relaxing and saying it, and, you know, and everybody would be. So it's a journey. You read something that I help my clients master their habits of success. Anything we want to achieve, change, development, growth of any sort, it has to take something away from you. You have to sacrifice something to get there. So whatever that is going to be, the pleasure, time to do other things, some friendship that's not serving you, money, you know, the things you like, whatever, you have to sacrifice something. Something has to give for you to get what you want.
Yeah.
That's a sure thing. Something has to give. So no one can have any change happen, you know, just sitting down. You have to stretch yourself. Okay, stretch and expand. That's why for us, even to get just a habit sorted, it takes at least 21 days and more. And even at that, we still continue to practice. That is just one habit. Not to talk of, you want to change your life, the way you live, your income, your relationship, you know, the way you talk to your child, you want to mold your child's life. It takes so much than just wishing and hoping. It takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of inner strength. Okay. So, and you know, for anything to happen anyway, for us to achieve any sort of change or transformation, it happens in our mind first, before it can happen outside, which is why we have to strengthen our minds. We have to go inwards and work on our minds first, our thoughts, you know, the things within us, before we can then externalize whatever change we want. Okay. So, which is why it's hard for people to make that change happen, because inwards, it's not clear. They're not even sure they want to make it inwards, right? So they're thinking, oh, should I eat some sugar today? Should I not eat sugar? Oh, maybe if I eat one today and tomorrow, you know. So inwards, you don't, and there are ways anyway for you to work on your inwards. So, but the first thing is your mind inside of you. You have got to be disciplined. You have got to work on your mind first, before you now come out and say, okay, I'm going to be able to do this every day and every day. So, you know, it's good for people to know the why, the reason, the purpose, okay, of wanting to have any sort of change in their life, any type of change at all. What is the reason? Why do you want to change your life, or why do you want to achieve X, Y, Z? Okay, and if you have that reason, it has to be strong enough to drive you to continue to go. It has to be big enough, okay, compel you to continue to go. If it's not, because you see, life itself, it's an obstacle by itself. It's an obstacle. So at every course on your way, you will find something that's going to make you feel like, no, I shouldn't go on. So if that's the case, our mind's got to be strong enough to know that obstacles will come, but we have to find a way to go about it. So, yeah, so that's why it's really not like an easy thing to get change, okay? It's something that has to be deliberate and conscious. And as I said, something has to give for you to get what you want. So you've got to be able to like give, let go of something or bring in something, okay? Mm. So, yeah.
Now, like, this is the thing, you hit on a number of key points and like many a thing which comes to mind, because look, when you want to grab hold of something else, you can't grab hold of something else while holding what you've got. You've got to let that go and truly just like, okay, I'm going for this. Okay, grab that. And yeah, you will drop a lot of things from that old sort of state of mind going on to this new state of mind, be that just a changing mindset, changing life, changing circumstances, but you do need to do that, let it go. But the other thing, and I think this is the most important thing, when it comes to the word why, now this is the thing, like why can be a motivator and it can be like gravity pulling you along. When it's a motivator, and I call those soft whys and fluffy whys, it's a case of, yeah, motivation don't mean jack in this world. Yeah, I'm really motivated to do this, but motivation will disappear as quickly as you need to do it. Oh, I want to go for a run. I'm going to walk a mile every day. Oh, look, it's raining. Oh, well, see ya. I'll stay here. But when you've got a strong, a powerful why, acting like gravity, it's not a case of, right, oh, yeah, it just like goes, oh, no, you're coming with me, and it pulls you along. It drags you along with, like, exactly. You don't even understand sometimes what's going on, but it's like, yeah, you're coming with me. We're going to get this done, and that's the whole thing. I think sometimes people need to really sort of hone down on how strong their why is. If it's fluffy and soft, you'll get some things, but I don't think you're going to get the like real change in life that a hard why, a gravity pulling why will get you.
Exactly. Very, very correct. Very correct. You really, you know, said it properly, because what happens is when helping people to find their whys, we go in really deep. Okay. Yeah. People tell you, okay, why do you want to achieve XYZ, or why do you want to have more income in your business, or why do you want to be, because I want to support my family, why do you want to support my family, okay, because I want to be able to train my children, why do you want to train your children, because I want them to grow to be people I can be proud of, why do you want to be proud of your children, because that's going to give me rest when I'm old, you know, that sort of thing. So if that anchors you thinking of your old age, that you're going to have rest, perhaps it's going to make you move on and on and on. So we tend to like make people go in a lot deeper to a point where you know that, yes, it's pivotal in your life if you achieve that end stage of things, whatever you want. It doesn't have to be, you know, when you get to that really thick why, that's going to keep you going regardless. You know, it's a point for you to continue to look onto, to say, yes, I need to get this. This is important for my life. It's non-negotiable. That, yes, non-negotiable thing that you just want to, you know, yes, I've got to get, this is going to complete me in a way. Then that's where you have your why, the real why. But, you know, but beneath all the flimsy whys that people come up with, you know, because a lot of people come up with flimsy whys, you've got to get to the nitty-gritty of the core why. yeah, that's going to stimulate you time and again, regardless of what's going on.
You have this sort of looking right that you've like, you've had conversations with many a person where you've heard what they go and you're like, no, please, like, come on, you're almost there. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what you're saying. Come on, let's do this. Come on. Like, exactly. Yeah, it must be tough sometimes. Like when you're doing, like doing the coaching, you're trying to help these people, like many of person out there, and you can't quite get them there yet. Like, what do you do in those type of situations? Is it a case of like, okay, you know what? I led you to water. You can't drink. I'm done. Bye-bye. Or do you take a different like stance?
Okay. One, you know, before I start coaching, I tend to pre-qualify. Okay. With coaching, because it's different to so many other things like, you know, counseling, that sort of thing. Mm. With coaching, you are, as a the individual has to give a level of permission to say, okay, I want to change my life. Mm-hmm. Okay. So once you have that permission, we know that, okay, you want to change, right? You want to achieve something. And definitely the reason you're coming to a coach is because you cannot achieve it on your own. Okay. So sometimes it may be difficult for people to adapt, to change, to work on the things they have to work on so that they achieve the change, the transformation they want. Mm. Okay. In that case, you help them. You help them move forward. You help them uncover the things that may be holding them back. So we may do a number of sessions to help them really get into, remember I talked about, you know, your core why, your core reason, okay, that's going to, the anchor that's going to hold you on, you know, getting to that point. So we may do a number of sessions to, sometimes people think they've got to where they want and it's not helping them to, you know, to pivot and move forward. Mm. So we need to find, really get deep into what may have happened, why they're not getting into a state that is going to anchor them and hold them on. So we may do a number of sessions. Maybe once or twice, maybe once I've had to say, okay, we cannot go anymore because you have, it doesn't look like you really want this transformation. Okay. Mm. But most of the time with the people that I've worked with, honestly, they've been so fantastic. They want that change. And I, you know, just help them to get to something that is going to be able to, and sometimes I give them examples from myself, you know, like, you know, when you have a very great reason that you want to hold on to say, okay, I want to give it my best shot. Like, mm-hmm. And if I give it my best shot and I haven't tried, if I have to say things in future to myself, my future self or my children or whoever, then they would say to me, I have done my best. You know, when you get to that point of following your dreams and following the things that you want. So, you know, we make different ways to help them get to that point so that they know that, yes, they've got to put their best in. This is, as I said, non-negotiable. This is something that's going to make life different to you. Okay. Mm. So, yes, so we dig deep to some extent, yes, to help them to get that going.
Yeah, no, like there's a thing, yeah, making that like going to be a change in life difference. And like, you know, like this is the thing, like I kind of look at what's gone on with the last 16 months / 18 months of how the world has, you know, changed and changed again and changed some more. And like, yes, liberty is taken away, liberty is given back, liberty is taken away. But I think with a lot of the time, like, okay, the world stopped for a good 3 months proper for, I would say, 70% of the people who are in the working world and everything like this. But I gave them time to sort of like really sort of like, okay, what am I doing? I think over the next few years, there's going to be a sort of great shift of where people are going to be in their lives and what they're doing. What they're doing today, I think, is going to be considerably different to what they're doing tomorrow. And I just like, it's, I don't know if you've kind of been seeing the sort of early waves of that in like some of the people you've been talking to while you've been doing your coaching, or, you know what I mean, just generally out in the world, just talking to people, maybe even yourself. Maybe like you're not going to be a coach anymore. Maybe you're going to be an astronaut in the next few years. I don't know.
Oh, that is a great one. You know what? Well, I think with the pandemic, I've been talking more, you know, to the clients that get me in on things to do with resilience, building resilience muscle, that sort of thing, because, you know, it emerged that we've always needed it. So I've been talking more on that. But aside from that, in a way, I wouldn't say it was okay for the pandemic to happen, but in a way, it made us to get to a point in humanity where, because I used to talk to people like, we need to know what matters. Like, you need to know what's important in life. So I think with the pandemic, so many people opened up to what was the most important thing for them in life, okay? And globally, so we got that realization. So things shift. People shifted in their notion, in the way they lived, the things they believed, the things they held on to. So it really, really did shift, which was a good thing. So many people went back into who they should really be, how they should live as humans, you know, what we are really created for, to live as one another's brothers, keepers, and, you know, a unity. This sort of core human beings, our needs, not just our needs, the reason, the essence, yes, of being a human being. So a lot of people moved into that, because in a twinkle of an eye, things were happening that we never thought would happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So that realization opened up, and with the coaching space that I was in, remember, coaching is a lot more conscious, and there are different types of coaches. So we tend to like go deep to the essence of who we are, that sort of thing. So helping our clients to be more conscious about themselves and going really deep into like what matters most to you right now. If the world was going to end in the next 3 hours, what would matter most to you? And then people began to align their priorities as to, yes, what should matter to me? What should I be focusing on? You know, that sort of thing. So patterns were shifting, which was good in a way. And apart from, you know, the mindset shift and the priority shifts and attention shifts, the fact that physical things were changing, people who would ordinarily not like to adapt to change, well, find themselves like adapting really quickly, because it was a case of you either change or, you know, things are just going to move past by and you're just going to move away and that sort of thing. So yes, it really, in a way, it was a blessing, because now everybody knows, I mean, they've always said change is the only constant thing. Now the realization that change is the only constant thing in life, everybody knows it now. So it's just about us now realigning ourselves to life and how we want life to be. So be accepting of the things, understanding that change is constant and we will always evolve. So when things come, how do you want to manage it? Okay, make today, make now the best day ever. What are you going to do to make today the best day ever? To make now the best day ever for you? Okay, so those shifts in mindset, you know, patterns in people's lives were really great things, that I realized, that I saw during the pandemic. And the fact that, you know, the sense of community, people coming together to be more friendly, more nice, and that sort of thing, helping one another, that was really great. And I can tell you, it we haven't seen the end of it, so I will expect that, yes, more shifts will be coming, and just realizing, you know, what's important in life and just holding on to those important things in life and letting go of what's not really like urgent and really important in life. Yes, will be really great.
Yeah, no, this is the thing. Yeah, you're quite right. And I agree, because like this is the thing. One of the things I like saying is consistency is one of the most powerful things in this world. You do things consistently good, good things happen. You do things consistently bad, bad things happen. And yeah, with the power of change, I think if someone puts applies a consistent positive mental outlook with regards to this and put those actions into play, I think they will end up in a better place than others who do not, because I've seen people use this, and I've been one of those people who've used the pandemic. And like, I don't mean, when I say this, I'm not disrespecting anyone who's passed or anything like this. The time I sort of got back to kick off this podcast and like basically use that time as effectively as possible to make use of that time to go, yeah, I've done this and it's helped me go along this way. Because I didn't want to look back at that time and go, I had all the time in the world, but yeah, I didn't do anything with that time. And I think there's a number of people which have done that. And yeah, that would be a tragedy on many different levels. Loss of time, loss of liberty, and loss of loved ones. And yeah, to try to find a positive strand in that whole mess of last year, this year, and fingers crossed, just this year, it is, it's a tricky one, I would say. A tricky one indeed.
Yes, it's been a tricky one. And it's because in so many years, I would say centuries, right? The world hasn't seen that sort of effect to change lifestyle globally, to change workplace cultures globally, to change economies globally. We haven't seen that in centuries, or is it a century, whatever, you know, that sort of, in a very long time. Mm. So then it really did hit people, okay? And where we've been living a life of liberty, like you said, where we've been living a life of, there's this word I tell people, do not take things, entitlement, right? Okay. We believe that, yes, we believe that. I should have this. This is how life should be for me. That sort of thing. Well, we've been living that way for years. And suddenly somebody wants to take it away from you, or something wants to take it away from you. People didn't really adjust to that. It wasn't easy. It was really difficult. A lot of people struggled. Mm. A lot of people really struggled. Okay. And it has so much effect, mental health. And people were confused. You are one of the very, very lucky people who could use it well. So many people were confused. They didn't even know what to do with that time. They just couldn't manage it because they've never seen themselves in that situation. Unfortunately, again, they never envisaged it. Okay. So it was like a really hard blow on people, unfortunately. But I would expect that from, you know, what we've experienced, maybe people will begin to learn and to understand that, just as I said, you know, change is inevitable, right? And nobody wants what happened. Nobody likes it, okay? But whatever situation we find ourselves, the best thing we want to do, the first thing we want to do is accept what we have. When we accept what we have, lean into it to find the message of how to learn, to grow, and to I'm not going to say flourish, but to evolve, to be a different person, either to adapt to the change, okay, or use what you have to create the time that you want. What I mean by time you want, to create a situation that you want for yourself, you know, with regards to whatever is happening, okay? So, because nothing really is that constant, nothing bad will ever happen. Okay. We can't guarantee. We can't even guarantee the next minute. Okay. So when we adapt that mindset that because things can change, okay, then I am flexible. Okay. I can th- things can change and I am okay to change my things, right? I'm okay to change situation. I'm okay to be flexible. Okay. I'm okay not to live like I lived yesterday. Okay. I'm okay to adjust and tolerate situations and tolerate people, you know, that sort of thing. So, and as I said, it's a lot to do with our frame of minds. It's a lot to do with our frame of minds, right? Everything.
Mm. Yeah. No.
So it's a lot to do with, you know, things happening and you say, oh no, no, this shouldn't happen. But when you cannot control it, what do you do? So you've got to accept it, which was what happened. A lot of people couldn't accept the situation that what was happening was happening. They had to be stuck in their homes. They had to go to the supermarket and queue up and buy things. And when they get their things were finished, they just couldn't manage with that.
Mm.
So I'm expecting, you know, we are beginning to shift from that point of view. Like, yes, let's give ourselves the grace. Things will happen. How do I change? How do I adapt my lifestyle, my beliefs, the systems, and just be flexible a bit and just say to myself, okay, what can I do in this moment? At least that can take the stress off me.
Mm.
You know, when we begin to think that way, I think, yeah, we will live a lot more like, you know, the stress that the pandemic brought, people will kind of get over that or avoid that if they can live that way. Okay. Because nothing, we can't really like control everything happening to us. Only if we have that in our minds, yeah, then things will be like, okay, yes. You know, I just, and that's part of the things we're doing in coaching. I mean, we should know our limitations. Okay. We should know our boundaries and we should know what we can control and what we cannot control. You see, when we understand there are things we cannot control in life, and then you step back to see, okay, how best can I make the most of this moment or this situation that I found myself? Honestly, we open ourselves up to opportunities. We begin to think differently, okay? Rather than thinking, oh, this is crap. I can't manage. I don't like this. Then we're closed in. We cannot open up to opportunity. We cannot open up to ideas, creativity, okay? So, yeah, so when people like accept and say, okay, how best can I make the most of this situation that I found myself? Then ideas begin to flood in. How you want to cope with it, yeah. So it's a lot to do with your mindset, mind frame, and how we're ready to use all of that. And our brains is just part of it, yeah. How we're ready to use that.
Mm, I see. Like, this is the thing. One of the things I'm curious about, like, because you've spoken about mindset, taking opportunities, like adjusting, like knowing to what to control, what we can control, what we can't control, and like basically making the most of those opportunities. Now, as look, you've got your coaching hat, which I've got to say you wear very well. And like, yes, your passion and like, yeah, your passion, your experience, and yeah, it just comes off of you like a wave, like a good wave of energy, again and again and again, never ending. But like, as a business owner, what would you like, what do you see for yourself in the next few years with regards to like, yeah, dealing with the ebbs and flows of what's coming? Some of the things we can see clearly and some of the things we can't. How do you think you're going to deal with these ebbs and flows?
Businesses are already moving, okay? They're already like shifting base from what things used to be. Business is not business as usual.
Yeah,
but and me,
wait, how? You? Yes, exactly.
Me as a business owner,
yeah,
I'm shifting, you know, just like most businesses are shifting. Things will not remain the same, okay? I remember that I had to bring two of my computers home to work at home. We had to start doing lots of interviews because I do corporate as well, corporate training. We had to do lots of workshops online. So things are changing and we got to change with a wave, with how things are changing, okay? Using a lot more of outsourcing, staff, temporary staff, or outsourced, you know, instead of having people sit in the office and be your permanent staff. So as things are changing, I'm also changing with my business, the way that I'm doing things. Okay. So doing more collaborations with other people, so that and perhaps doing, you know, diversifying when I can into other things, because you just cannot guarantee that this one way is going to be the way forever. And because you cannot, you know, you want to you want to rinse what you've done and then put your hands in other things, you know, just keep flowing. That, you know, fluidity, like just be flexible, be available for change, that sort of thing, and just work yourself through things until we probably get some normality. And if we do, this is a lesson for us that we always, you know, put in the back of our minds that yes, things can change. So what are we saving for the rainy days? You know, save some resources, save some time, save some initiatives for the rainy day, and, you know, work with other people, learn more, continue to grow and see the trend of things and move in the trend that things are moving. So we can't continue to do things the way we used to do things. So, which is why for me, I'm growing, I'm learning, you know, I'm connecting, I'm asking people questions. What else can I do to? And I ask myself, have I done my best today? What else can I do to make me better, to make my business better for tomorrow? That sort of thing. So, yeah, we've got to continue to move, to continue to go and, you know, grow and learn. For me, I'm like, apart from personal development, anything else that I need to learn, I'm a learning junkie. I love to learn new things. I love to learn. I just love to learn because, you know, yeah, that's me. I love to learn new things, like, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so I'm up for learning and knowing and just finding out and researching. What else can I do? What else is there that they're hiding away from me? So, yeah, that's it.
I have to ask this question. What is one new interesting fact you've learned in the last, say, month or so?
Oh, the one interesting thing that I've learned is that, is that new? That life can still go on, work can still go on, and things can still go on and be fun and be creative and wonderful, regardless of the difficulties that we may be surrounded with. That things can still happen, we can still flourish regardless of the difficulty that we can find ourselves in, because the pandemic showed that we can change things. Remember, as a matter of fact, for me, I made better growth. I got to know more people. I got to do things. I got to learn different things. Just by using more of the internet than using, you know, the traditional, like having meetings, you know, in offices, or going to train people in offices, or setting up normal calls, you know, but just by using the internet, I've met more people than I've ever met, you know. I've made more collaborations, more connections, you know, than I've ever made, you know, since the pandemic. Yeah, because leveraging the power of the internet and leveraging new knowledge, new knowings, you know, and apart from that, you know, understanding that, you see, regardless of where we are, whether it's offline, as in what, face-to-face, or online, getting to having people's interest in your mind is priority. So everywhere that I've worked so far, we've talked about, you know, keeping other people safe, right? Even safer than talking about health and safety when you are in a physical position or in a physical like situation, you know. So the interest of one another, it cannot be overridden by anything. Like having the interest of the other person and being at the core of whatever we're doing. You know, I got to understand that more even whilst working with people online. Okay, there are things that we never thought about that, you know, that just open up to me, like, you know, when you're formally, when you go in classes or when you go in offices and you give lectures, you just, everybody's fine. But when we started doing, you know, a lot more of Zoom calls and everything, you know, people's safety was more important because you see, it's in their spaces, their private spaces, mm-hmm. their private spaces that you would otherwise would not have had the opportunity to get into. Okay, now you're getting into people's private spaces via the internet. Some people don't want that to happen. You wouldn't believe that privacy for people on the internet is a greater thing than in physical world. So things like that. So you coming to that level and understanding that, it's a huge thing. Respecting people, you know, for who they are, for where they're coming from, you know, for what's motivating them or what's making them do X, Y, Z, or being who they want to be or being, you know. So yes, that sort of thing, you know, really opened me up to, you know, some new learnings and understanding. And as I said, I'm still learning and growing. It's been fascinating, honestly. It's been, yeah, a real, you know, yeah, journey.
Oh, wait a second. Wait, one moment. Right. One of the things I always have up there, learn and grow.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. Oh, bear with. Yeah. No, but yes, that's one of the things I always have, learn and grow. That's and it. Yeah, one of my other sayings, which I often turn to, fight today for a greater tomorrow. Because, yeah, look, you can look to the past and you got to just look to the past. Don't dwell in it. Because if you dwell in it, it will keep you there. Like the present is where the action happens. Yeah. It sets up the future. It makes us stronger for that future. Don't take any action in the present. Your future is not going to be bright whatsoever. So, you know, like this is a reason, like this is many of the reasons why I kind of do this, talk to people and everything like this. For me, like when, like I often say this, when you're in your, like, no one tells you this, but it comes very true when you live through it. When you are young and you're in your teens, like you normally roll with like your, like if you go anywhere, you'll be like, okay, we are Legion, and you have all everyone go, oh. When you're in your 20s, it's like, yeah, we are Legion, and you're still like, oh. When you hit your 30s, we are Legion, it's more like, oh. And as each decade goes on, I'm in my 40s right now. It's like, yeah, we are Legion. And it's like, yeah, just like about four or five guys. Like, yeah, no, we're like a small crack mm-hmm. unit. But as time goes on more and more, it's like you get less opportunities to talk to people. You get less opportunities to experience new things. Through my podcast, that's how I manage to still have a fluid mindset, because I am talking to more people than I ever spoken to before, but not like in a big group setting, but one-on-one. So I can get more sort of clearer stories, more sort of like insights into people's mind, that sort of nuance. So I do this today. Like, who knows what I'll be doing tomorrow, but yeah. If I'm still podcasting, and yeah, that'd be great. But I've got to say, with yourself, with like, it's not even the way you're talking, but it's, as I said, I made reference to the energy, what comes off of you. And look, there most probably hasn't been, well, there hasn't been an opportunity over the last 16 to 18 months. But do you think you're like going to the realm of public speaking? Because I haven't seen any information about that.
Oh, okay. And before the pandemic, I used to do a little bit of public speaking when I was in London. So in 2016, well, it's not an excuse. I think it's because I've been busy. Uh-huh. I moved from London in 2016 to Southend. And I think I still used to go, but not as you know, as regularly as I used to. I used to do public speaking, but yeah, not a lot. Then with the pandemic, everything we've been doing has been on internet. internet. Yes. So yeah, I host rooms on Clubhouse. That's sort of the
I knew you'd be on it. Like, this is the thing. No, someone like yourself, that much talking energy. No. I was like, look, no.
Yeah. So I do that. Yeah, I do that. We're gonna be having a summit in this month, you know, on Clubhouse, and it's gonna be like 2 days, like, you know, really on Clubhouse, like talking with a host of other people. So yes, I still do that. Yeah.
Like, how has Clubhouse been treating you? Because I'm like kind of new to the sort of Clubhouse area. I haven't even started the room yet. I've just like a little toe here and a little toe there. How's it been for you?
Well, for me, when Clubhouse started, the fact that Clubhouse started for iPhone people.
Yes.
I was saying to myself, I was on Facebook and Instagram, I was saying to myself, I'm not interested. I'm just not interested. No, not interested. That was what I was saying to myself. Okay. So my coach at the time, as a coach, I do have a coach. I do have a coach because you need to have that person. Well, I have a coach sometimes, and then other people. Other times when I stop that, I may do accountability circle. I always have those group of people or my person there, like getting me on, or I can check things on. So my coach at the time said to me, okay, why are you not on Clubhouse? And I said, I love Android. I use a Samsung phone. I love it, you know. And I don't want to get like an iPhone. I'm not an iPhone person. My daughter uses iPhone. Everybody in my house uses iPhone. My husband uses iPhone. My son uses iPhone. Like, I'm just not one iPhone person, you know. And he said, you know what? You got to have one. Just get one. And you're going to get business there. You're going to be able to talk to people. So I had to get one iPhone. Anyway, I just got one. And then because it was a second phone for me, I was on Clubhouse. I got the iPhone just for Clubhouse.
Yeah.
So, and my phone is like everything, as in my normal phone. This is my phone. I'm not going to show it. Like, you know, it's my... Almost every this is my phone. Can you see? That's my phone. That's my phone.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's my everything. Like, I work on it because, you know, it's my mini computer. I can do so many things. Mm. And because I love my Android phone anyway. So it wasn't really easy for me to go on that other phone to do Clubhouse. So I wasn't regular on Clubhouse. When Clubhouse added Android people, yes. I had to change. Completely immediately.
I am one of those people. There you go.
So I switched, but then I like, because I didn't know how to do it, so I had to create a new account. I invited myself, because you've got to be invited. I invited myself, and then I created a new account, and that was when I was active on Clubhouse, because then it's on my phone, my normal phone, so I can use it anytime. I can talk anytime. Yes, and that was when I was, and for me, Clubhouse was so good because it was a talking app, you know, and you could be talking, you could be in your bed talking, you could be sitting down talking, you could be anywhere on the street, you could be in a car, you could anywhere. So it was a lot easier for me. So yes, yeah, so I got in, I made more friends on Clubhouse than I have made on any social media, you know. Yes, yeah, so many people. So, like, you know, I've been like really collaborating with people, you know, talking to people, having new friends. It's been Clubhouse has been fun for me. I love it. You know, I came from not wanting it to, like, yes, I love Clubhouse. I love Clubhouse. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
It's beautiful. And anybody can just find their voice in Clubhouse, honestly. So many communities, beautiful. Yeah.
Mm. So with this 2-day summit you're going to be like running on there, what is the sort of subject matter you're going to be covering?
Okay, so it's a number of us. I'm talking mainly about mindset, you know, how your mind, unleash the power of your mind is what I'm talking about. Okay. Because it cuts across, you know, my audience, regardless of who you are, whether you're a female executive, you're a business owner, anything, you know. So the power of your mind is what I'm going to be talking about, how you can harness that part of your mind to manage your thoughts, to manage yourself, and the things that happen to get to happen in your life, and understanding that you know, as I said, we've got limitations. However, we can choose. Okay, one thing that I say to people is, you see, you may not have all of the power in the world, mm-hmm. right, to do anything. One power, for as long as, you know, you have that mental gift, we are mentally okay. One great power that you have is the power of choice. And us choosing what's going to serve us is up to us. So you can choose whatever you want. Okay. So, and when I say that, people ask me, oh, what about when something bad is happening? When something bad is happening, you can choose how you want to react to what's happened to you. Okay. You can choose it. And that makes all of the difference. So it's not that something bad is not going to happen. No, that's part of life. How do you react to it? Okay. How do you allow that to affect you going forward? Okay. And that is the power that you have. You can make a choice as to how you want that to affect you. Okay. And that's a great thing in itself. That's a great thing, regardless of what's going to happen with us.
You know what? I think you're going to have a kick-ass seminar. Look at you. Look at you.
No,
come on now. Yeah, you know what? You've got you've got a new follower on Clubhouse when I get off this podcast.
Oh, thank you.
No. But look, come on. Yeah. Love it. So, apart from dominating the world of Clubhouse, maybe going back into the realm of speaking, who knows, maybe, who knows, through your Clubhouse connections. Do you see yourself sort of branching out in a little bit more of a social media sort of direction? I know you've got your Instagram. I know you sort of dabbled in YouTube. Do you think you might be taking any of those platforms a little bit more seriously? Because with your success from Clubhouse, come on.
Yeah, I think with the YouTube thing, I've just been, like you said, not really serious with it. Yeah, who knows? It's not impossible. Let's just say that. It's not impossible, yeah.
You see, I'm Farah, I do my research.
Yes, I don't know how you know, I was like, how did you know all of that? Yeah, well done.
Oh, brilliant. Wow. Hey, has to be done. Look, you're here. You've agreed to come onto the podcast. Yes, I have to research you, not in a creepy stalker way. I've been watching you. Make sure, the conversation could be good and the flow can go well. And here we are. Now, I have to ask, now, if you could learn something from a great influential coach, alive, gone, or maybe fictional, which coach would you choose to learn from?
Oh, a coach I would choose to learn from. Okay. I'm going to go with Tony Robbins.
Why Tony Robbins?
Okay, the reason I'm going with Tony Robbins is because, you know, I've watched him, you know, many times do things, and the where he takes things from is completely, you know, we've got training as coaches, right? It just doesn't coach people from the basis of the training, different types of trainings and modalities. It goes into the core humanness. I don't know that. You know, the core thing that makes you a human, it coaches you from that aspect, from that point. Like, what is your essence on earth? You know, it kind of go into that sort of thing. Okay. Why are you here? What makes you a human being? Okay. And that is what you want to hold on to. So it coaches from our aspect of being a human being first before anything else, which is why I like his ways of, our essence of being on earth. Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah. So it goes beyond all the, you know, the modalities, you know, and then it goes right to the core of us being us. So regardless of who you are, you're a human being first. And coaching you from that point of view is very powerful.
Yeah, he's been 40 years in the game. Like, yeah. And like, I get what you're saying. I watched the Netflix documentary about how he coaches. And yes, he does like seem to tap into people's humanity a little bit more. So to like get to what's truly behind some of their sort of angst and pain in their lives. Yeah. Oh, Tony Robbins, tall order. That is like, you know what I mean? That is one powerful like coach. I'm surprised you didn't also like look at sort of Les Brown, but that's another.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a fan of Les Brown because I think I'm subscribed to him on LinkedIn.
Yes.
So yes, I watch his videos on LinkedIn. I go to Les Brown's rooms. Well, he has rooms where he's coming. Les Brown, Brian Tracy on talk Clubhouse. The room. I'm a fan. Yes, it's really great. Yes.
I would say a new wave coach. There's a guy called Simon Sinek. He has a book of Know Your Why. He is like, I would say with regards to sort of how I think coaching might go for a large percentage of the population in the near future, I think he is a strong advocate for it. And I've listened to his book and there's some points which really, really hit home well. He often uses Apple and like Microsoft and uses them as their sort of juxtapositions with how they sort of approach like an advert or like what they like the product does. And like going from that sort of the why principle is like very powerful. And I got to say, yeah, I do agree with it. It's like, yeah.
That is powerful. Yes, I do know is why thing and the cycle, the three cycle of why.
Yeah.
I think I've read the book. Yes, it is quite powerful. Yes. I think I've got a friend or two of them that they use that principle in their coaching. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it helps people to unravel right to the to the core of their great why, to understand their why beneath the why. Yes, I've read his book and I know people who use his principles as well. Yes, he's good. Yes, he's a great guy.
Fantastic. Now. Okay, I must reveal to you, Mita, that I am I am a supreme cosmic being and I can give you the power of one wish. Before you say anything, the only reason why I'm giving like this back because there's some people who try to abuse this and like no, you seem to be quite self-aware. Some responsibilities, you're a responsible person. You seem like a quite responsible person. And yeah, I'll give you the power of one wish to do almost anything, but you cannot make a wish so you can have more wishes. You cannot wish to you can't wish for world peace. No, you can't wish for you can't wish for COVID to go away. No, look. Like, you don't know what strings I had to pull to get a vaccine into this world. No, I'm not doing it again. I'm not making those deals again. Sorted. Back room cosmic deals. I'm not proud of some of the things I had to do, but that's another story. And like, you cannot write down a list of things on a piece of paper and go, I wish everything on this piece of paper comes true. Now, what would your one wish be?
My one wish is for human beings to be kinder to one another.
Now that sounds a little bit too close to world peace. No, what? Like, no, you can't have that.
One. That's why I didn't say world peace.
No, like you see, don't try to be sneaky. I know that. No, I see the way you just look. You know you're trying it. Come on, you've done it again. your tail is coming through. Come on now. One wish, and no, not for human beings to be kinder. No kumbaya. No. What would that one wish be?
Okay. The one wish is, so you don't want it to be something worldly for everybody?
Look, I said not world peace. And like, look, you're trying to sneak in world peace again. Look, this is, look, don't try me, lady. Don't try me. I see you. You see me. I see you.
Okay. So my one wish is for growth and abundance for you and for me.
Okay, growth and abundance. What type of growth and what type of abundance?
Okay, growth, general mental growth,
uh-huh.
Personal growth,
uh-huh.
Spiritual growth,
uh-huh.
And abundance in terms of, you know, open our hearts more to love, to kindness, to prosperity, to not being judgmental, to be a good example to the world and blessings to the world.
Oh, you see,
sneaky. But I think that's what we can do, you know, to be blessings to the world. I think that's what we should be, you know.
Okay. I'm going to have to do more background deal. I shall see what I can do. Ain't easy. Look, oh God, it's definitely not easy. But how can you tell the lovely people out there how they can find you out on the great wide world web?
Okay. On the world wide web, is it?
Yes. The internet.
They can find me on creativebusinesssuite.com. or stressfreeexecutives.com. They can find me on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Oh, and you forgot to say Clubhouse.
On Clubhouse, yes. Yeah, that's my new place. I'm going to be on Clubhouse tomorrow evening. As in hosting a room with my other people, yeah.
Perfect. Yes, I will be, how can I put it? I'll be doing other podcast episodes as well.
Lovely. I must say, thank you so much for your podcast. It is very, very interesting. You know, for me, we don't understand, people don't understand the opportunity to have a laugh, to have a smile. It's really wonderful. Thank you so much for giving me that this evening.
I am happy to have you here, my lady. I've got to say thank you for coming on. And look, I've loved your energy. I loved your spark. And yes, by all means, more of you, I say. More of you. Make this world a better place, I say. Yes. Stop trying to sneak in wishes with, like, for world peace. But that's another story. I've got to say, thank you for coming on today. You have been a star. You've been amazing. You've been awesome. Ah, yes.
Thank you for having me.
The pleasure's all mine. And yes, I'd like to say thank you to you, my friends, my life warriors, who are still with us at this present time. Please stay safe, stay well, be awesome, be excellent, be fantastic. Be all the positive bees you can be in this world, and then some. Have a great day, guys. Yes. Peace. And we are...